यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारि यमुनातीरावनचारि जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारि हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
युगधर्म हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 26 टाइटल किंग पुरंजना गोज टू द फॉरेस्ट टू हंट टेक्स्ट 21 पुरंजन उवाच नूनं त्वाकृत पुण्यास्ते भृत्या एष्व ईश्वराः शुभे कृतागसौ आत्मसात् कृत्वा शिक्षादण्डं न युञ्जते नूनं त्वाकृत पुण्यास्ते भृत्या एष्व ईश्वरः शुभे कृतागसौ आत्मसात् कृत्वा शिक्षादण्डं न युञ्जते नूनं त्वाकृत पुण्यास्ते भृत्या एष्व ईश्वरः शुभे कृतागसौ आत्मसात् कृत्वा शिक्षादण्डं न युञ्जते पुरञ्जन उवाच
पुरञ्जन उवाच नूनं त्वाकृत पुण्यास्ते भृत्या एष्वीश्वरः शुभे कृतागहस्व आत्मसात् कृत्वा शिक्षादण्डं न युञ्जते पुरञ्जन उवाच
शिक्षादण्डं न युज्यते पुरञ्जन उवाच
What word meaning? Puranjanaha vacha. Puranjana said. Nunam. Certainly. Tu. Then. Akrita punyaha. Those who are not pious. Te. Such. Bhrityaha. Servants. Eshu. On to whom. Ishvaraha. The masters. Shubhe. O most auspicious one. Krita agasu. Having committed an offense. Atmasat, accepting as their own. Kritva, doing so. Shiksha, instructive. Dandam, punishment. Na yunjate, do not give. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, King Puranjana said, my dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate. According to Vedic civilization, domestic animals and servants are treated exactly like one's own children. Animals and children are sometimes punished not out of vengeance, but out of love. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servants out of love to correct him and bring him to the right point. Thus, King Puranjana took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. He considered himself the most obedient servant of the queen. She was angry at him for his sinful activities, namely, hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Puranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife. In the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he takes it as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tattenu kampam sushamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam ऋत्वाक्वपूर्भिर् विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदाय भाग. This verse states that the devotee accepts a reversal of his position in life as a benediction by the Lord and consequently offers the Lord more obeisances and prayers. Thinking that the punishment is due to his past misdeeds and that the Lord is punishing him very mildly, the punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. In the Manu Samhita, it is said that the king should be considered merciful when he condemns a murderer to death because a murderer punished in this life becomes freed from his sinful activity and in the next life takes birth cleared of all sins. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, he becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन्नति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं So here we are seeing a very private talk between husband and wife, King Puranjan and his wife Puranjani. So the husband has done something and now he's begging forgiveness to his wife. And it is recommended by Shastra that one should go and become the servant of one's loved ones. And here we see that Puranjan is becoming the servant of his wife. In Grihastha life, there are two things which a person relishes. One is when the wife is angry on the husband goes and he pacifies her. So it seems that is what happiness or bliss that the husband gets. And the second one is seeing the kids grow, seeing the child grow. And when the child says, Papa, Mama, and all that, so the parents, they feel very nice. So these are the two blissful experiences, which a Grihastha has. So here we see, Puranjana is experiencing that. He's saying, he is going close and, he's glorifying. Firstly, he says, oh, beautiful wife. When a master accepts a servant as his own man but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate. So Bhagavatam also teaches how to use kind words and get people back on track. So throughout, now we will see after this, how Puranjana will glorify his wife. So a very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada and very profound points he is making here. So when it comes to the servants, when it comes to the subordinates, so if the master loves the servant, if the master has got a lot of affection for the servant, chastisement will automatically come out of love. Because if if the master is taking responsibility of the servant, and if the master is very much keen about the servant growing, the servant living a happy life, he would give instructions, and at times when those instructions are not followed, he would chastise left and right. So this chastisement and punishment are very important in a relationship only when the subordinate is surrendered to the master or to the superior, or else it doesn't make any sense. The superior is chastising and giving punishment and subordinate is like, kaun sunega tera nahi sunna hai. So it doesn't make sense. Only when the subordinate is surrendered to the superior, and he's ready to accept whatever the superior is saying because he has got that faith and the trust on the superior. He'll follow whatever it is. But if the superior is just glorifying and not giving chastisement, it means that person has not accepted the subordinate as his own. This is there. Because for strangers, we will never go and chastise. For strangers, we will always glorify, speak kind words and make sure we are good to them. But for people who are very close to heart, we will make sure that we will always see their well-being. We always want that they should progress. We always want that they should live a happy life. And we would want that that person should or the person shouldn't commit the same mistake again, which will ruin his life. So the instructions are given and chastisement and punishment is given. So this chastisement and punishment, externally it might look like this is a very difficult thing or it's a curse, but then it's actually a blessing. It's a blessing in the disguise, because as soon as the person takes up the chastisement and punishment positively, he can progress very fast. But just by glorification, no one has progressed in this world. Yes. There is no instance where the person is just glorified throughout his life and he has gone to the next level, be it Krishna conscious or be it even material life or whatever. So this chastisement and punishment are the important vitamins, we can say, in one's life. And especially when it comes to Krishna consciousness, it is very, very important. When we see in material life also, when the king gives punishment, here Prabhupada writes towards the end, when the king gives punishment, there is a motive behind. So it's not that the king is taking to his ego and he's punishing the person. He's seeing how this person can be benefited and he gives punishment. And Prabhupada repeats this in multiple purports that when the king gives punishment, so the thing that is there in his mind is somehow this person should be delivered. If the punishment is given, whatever sins he has committed, all of that will be vanquished. And next life, he can have, he can take a good birth free of sins or whatever. So these punishments are given by the kings. Unfortunately, in today's modern age, this is not followed. And somehow people feel that punishing is death sentence or punishing very strictly is not a good thing. We should have humanity and all that. So this goes on to say that people now in the modern age, they have no vision of what is going to happen in next life. The only thing that they understand is what is happening on the gross platform, whatever they can see. And they say also, seeing is believing. So whatever they see, they want to believe in that and accordingly act. So it doesn't make any sense. A person who is a real well-wisher, he'll always see how this person will be benefited eternally. Prabhupada keeps talking about this often in his lectures, and he chastises the philanthropist and all the social workers and so on. He says, TK, you're doing it currently on the gross platform, but what is the benefit for the person eternally? Because finally, the person is going to take birth again. So are we going to help them again? So it means we also have to take birth for that, and so on and so forth. Like, the person will be stuck in the cycle of birth and death forever. So we have to do something by which the person will be delivered. So this is the point that is made here, that the king will punish and sometimes give death sentence also, just so that the sins are vanquished or sins are removed. Completely, not sure, but then sins, greater amount of sins will be removed, and the person will get some pious birth next life, and he'll be able to progress, either materially or spiritually, depends what his association is in the next life. So this is about the material side. Let's talk about the spiritual side, which is very, very important for all of us. Here comes a very important and a profound concept of the relationship between the guru and disciple. The relationship between the guru and disciple is a very, very important relationship. And when the guru takes the responsibility of the disciple, it's the fortune of the disciple. Because when the guru takes the responsibility of the disciple, it goes on to say that the guru will make sure that the disciple goes back home back to Godhead. That is called as taking responsibility. If this responsibility is not there, then that person cannot be called as guru. Just by telling how to lead a very happy life now and how to keep the body healthy, etc., etc., such people cannot be called as guru. Because they are not taking responsibility of the person to take him back home back to Godhead or help him to break the cycle of birth and death. So when the guru accepts the disciple, he accepts the disciple from his heart and he'll make sure that the disciple always follows the right path. So that the disciple does not repeat the same mistakes that he has done many, many lifetimes. And when the disciple comes, a sincere disciple comes to this world, even the Guru Tattva has to come back. That's Chakudan Diloje Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. So the Guru also has to come, the Guru Tattva has to come again and again, just to deliver the sincere devotee who is there. So what does Guru do? The Guru will give instructions. This is the first thing that the Guru does. He'll give instructions. And when he sees that the instructions are followed, the mercy will flow. The Guru will bless, the mercy will flow. And the Guru also takes Shubha Sankalpa, that is, he'll pray, he'll offer prayers to the Lord, just so that this disciple will be delivered. So in this way, it all starts with the mercy starts from the instructions. So the Guru will give instructions, and when the disciple follows, then other things will manifest. Because along with instructions, as we all know, Guru also empowers, Sri Guru will also empower the disciple. It's only by their empowerment, we can do something in spiritual life. There is no question of doing anything on our own. In fact, it is said, this analogy we have heard, some example we have heard, that Krishna accepts or expects that the person should get passing marks in an exam. Then comes Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Okay, you come to exam hall and write your name.
Yes.
You write your name and write something, I'll pass you, giving grace marks. And Nityananda Prabhu is like, you write your name, come here, write your name and go, I'll pass you. And then comes Guru, like Srila Prabhupada and the other spiritual masters. They run behind the person, you come here, what is your name, I'll write and pass you. So this is the mercy of Sri Guru, where they are very much keen because they are pure devotees and they can see every living entity. And they can see their original Swarupa in spiritual world and they're like, what is this person doing here? He's supposed to be there in spiritual world assisting Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. What is he doing here? This is called as real compassion. So it is said that only the ones who have got love of Godhead, who have revived their relationship with Krishna, only they can show real compassion because they can see the truth as it is in front of them. So they are called as Tattva Darshi. They can see the truth as it is. Right? So when they see the disciple, how he is behaving and he's not doing proper things and so on and so forth, they'll start giving instructions, and when the instructions are not followed, then the Guru will chastise. Now this chastisement are of two types. I was hearing a very nice thing. One is the Guru want to chastise and correct the disciple. Other one is the Guru wants to test the disciple. Now, when Guru wants to correct the disciple, yes, that's understood. But when testing, that is also a very important thing. When a Guru tests the disciple, he might chastise him in private or he might chastise him in public also. And he'll just check that how much faith this person has on me and on my words. I remember hearing one pastime of His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. Now, all of us know Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj lectures. He is bold, sitting on Vyasasana. Not just on Vyasasana, off the Vyasasana also is very bold. Pure devotee after all, perfected soul. So, he sees people and then he directly tells, what are you thinking? And so on and so forth. So, once what happened is, Maharaj was giving class, it seems, in Bhuvaneshwar. And then one of the disciple was there on the terrace chanting. He wanted to chant some extra rounds and he was chanting during the Bhagavatam class. So Maharaj was just seeing all of them and he noticed that this person is not there. And then Maharaj became very angry that Guru is speaking, now what your chanting will help you? My instructions will help you. Where is he? Call him. Devotees went to call him and he was scared because he knows now what will happen. So he said, okay, you all go. And then he didn't go down. He was just there on the terrace chanting. And then Maharaj became very, very angry. Bhagavatam class has not started. All this drama is going on. It's not started. And then Maharaj told that by force get him here. And then by force he was got And then now you're seeing the spiritual master and Gorgon Maharaj, the guru, you know, he's seeing the disciple. And Maharaj started chastising him left and right. And unfortunately at that time, don't know what was the situation of the disciple. He was looking at Maharaj with lot of anger. And Maharaj was like, look down, how can you look into my eyes, look down. But you know, he was, Maya Shakti, she is very strong. And he was just looking into the eyes of Maharaj and you know, he was very angry that how can you chastise me in front of everyone. And then Maharaj said many things, and then you know, that devotee was not at all asking forgiveness and things like that. Maharaj got very angry and he said, cut his shikha, I reject him today as my disciple. And when this happened, you know, he was again angry, shikha was cut in front of everyone, very very angry. And then that person decided himself to leave the place, leave the guru, leave the temple and things like that. Maharaj might speak externally like that, but you know, pure devotees internally, they are like soft like butter. So what he did was, I don't know if class happened or not on that day, but then Maharaj, after that time, he sat outside his room on the chair, and everyone knew why is he sitting, so that the disciple will come and ask forgiveness and you know, things will get over. And also I was hearing that Maharaj was in a you know, great mood that if he comes to me and begs forgiveness, I will give him love of God today itself. This was the mood. But then unfortunately that disciple was in his own world, you know, very unfortunate. So he came, you know, he was just passing by, and then Maharaj with tears in the eyes, he said, will you, you're going to leave me now? He repeated 2-3 times. And the disciple didn't say anything, but the disciple chastised Maharaj and then he left from that place. And we hear that now that Prabhu is there, but he's just a well-wisher in the office con. He's no more a strong devotee like he was before. So here it's very clear that you know, when it comes to the guru, he has nothing else in the heart than to just give Krishna to the disciple, and he'll make sure that the disciple becomes qualified to receive Krishna. Because if the heart is not fertile, if the heart is not ready to receive Krishna, how will the guru give Krishna? Because sadhus are all merciful. In Bhagavatam we see like all sadhus are merciful. The only thing is the person who is there in front of the sadhu, is he really qualified, you know, to receive the mercy or not? You know, this is the question. When Prabhupada was there, you know, Prabhupada was giving mercy to everyone. But not everyone was you know, receiving it, you know, wholeheartedly. But the ones who received it, you know, we see how they are now. You know, they are on a very, very great platform. And we see Pankaj Angripu, Jananivaspu, you know, so such great souls. I was just meditating on this aspect that Srila Prabhupada told that you know, you stay in Mayapur and serve. This was the instruction given to Jananivaspu and Pankaj Angripu. Serve Radha Madhav and Narasimhadev Panchatattva. And look at the dedication. Now they obviously they are senior disciples, they are eligible for sannyas. They didn't take sannyas only because you know they will have to go around. So they remained as pujaris, humble pujaris serving in the background. And you know, when Prabhuji left the body, I was just thinking that this is called perfection. That the instruction was given, stay in Mayapur and serve. And the disciple stays in Mayapur and leaves the body in Mayapur only. This is the perfection, following the instruction of Guru. And look at the other, look at the brother, Jananivaspu. Just day before yesterday, you know, Prabhuji passes away, and then Jananivaspu next day, he's there on the altar in front of Radha Madhav, serving them. This is called as following the instruction of Sri Guru. And when someone does that, oh, now that person will go, you know, he'll achieve heights in Krishna consciousness. And we see this in all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I remember Srila Guru Maharaj, when he got this attack, the brain hemorrhage, he was there in front of Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan, and he was crying profusely when he came after, you know, going to the hospital, and when he was brought on the wheelchair or something. So he was crying profusely, and you know, one devotee came very immaturely. He asked that, Maharaj, are you, you know, sad that you know, this has happened to you? He was crying, and you know, he said that, I am sad that I will not be able to execute the instruction what Srila Prabhupada has given to me. So this is the value of instructions of a spiritual master. And this is how we see that executing the instruction of spiritual master, the disciple will achieve heights in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there is no hope for a disciple. There is no hope for a disciple at all. Because the spiritual master is the one, you know, who is the Uttam Adhikari. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, 5th verse in the purport, that one should be intelligent enough to accept a Uttam Adhikari as a spiritual master. So Uttam Adhikari, he has seen Krishna, he sees the truth as it is. He's Trikala Darshi, he knows the disciples past, present and future. He knows now what is good for the disciple, and accordingly when he gives instructions and when it is followed, the disciple will go, you know, to the great heights in Krishna consciousness, and by the mercy of the Guru, he will attain Krishna. There is no other hope apart from this. So in this way, when before accepting a Guru, yes, we can do all the, you know, natak of testing the Guru and all that. But then once the person accepts the Guru, you know, and also another thing is, this gives a lot of faith in Krishna consciousness, that bhakti is a foolproof method, is a foolproof procedure. So if the devotee has got a sincere desire in the heart to attain Krishna, or to go back home back to Godhead, Krishna will make all the arrangements. Now, there is no question of, no, he speculating, oh, aise karu, aise karu. He just need to have the desire, intense desire, and Krishna will make all the arrangements, all the arrangements. If he is a cheater, cheater will come in the life to cheat him. But he will, if he is a sincere devotee, a sincere, you know, Uttam Adhikari will come, or a sincere devotee will come, and then, you know, if he is qualified, an Uttam Adhikari will come in life. Because many times people ask this question, how to choose spiritual master? This is the way, just have intense desire and, you know, Krishna will send. So once we get that Uttam Adhikari in our life, then there is no question after that, you know, thinking about should I execute the instruction or not. Once we accept a spiritual master, he is our life and soul, his instructions are our life and soul. And now the disciple does not have anything of his own. Now he is done. He is the dog of the spiritual master and nothing else. One nice thing I just heard a couple of weeks back. So I was thinking something and I was a bit puzzled. So I was talking to one of the senior devotees. So he was telling that, see, once we accept a guru, our body belongs to the guru. And you are a preacher, you know, when we say body, it means gross body, subtle body, both. So who gave you the right to engage your mind in thinking something else other than thinking of the instruction of Sri Guru? It's so nice. Many times the mind will trick, and the mind will just go crazy thinking about so many things around, and, you know, and just negativity and a lot of other things. So this is a very nice question. Who has given permission to engage Guru's mind in something else? Guru is interested only to engage in the service of the Lord. So this mind belongs to Guru. So that has to be used in service of the Lord. So in this way, when a disciple accepts a spiritual master, he has nothing of his own after that. He is zero. The only thing that he has is, you know, his Guru and his instructions. Because his own possessions, in material life people say this body belongs to them, mind belongs to them, possessions belong to them. Nothing belongs to the disciple once he takes shelter of a Guru. So gross body, subtle body, everything, you know, belongs to the Guru. And in this mode, when the disciple accepts the Guru and executes the instruction, and when the Guru sees the dependence of the disciple, the Guru will take the responsibility and deliver the person. In fact, sadhus are very merciful. Even if the person is not dependent, still they will deliver. But now this will be very, very fast if someone is dependent on Guru completely, completely for everything, for every single thing in life. If he is dependent on the Guru, Guru will deliver. No, there is no question of not delivering. So in this way we see that the disciple and Guru, this relationship which is there, this is a very, very divine relationship. And this is the only relationship that can actually deliver the conditioned soul, you know, from this material world. Or else, crossing the ocean of birth and death is just a fairy tale, you know, for people in general. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's talking to Nityananda Prabhu, you know, after the Chidadai Utsav, and he's saying that I'm like a dwarf, you know, even if I jump high, I cannot catch the moon. It's only by your mercy, O Nityananda Prabhu, I'll be able to attain Krishna. Mora Icha Hai Pana Chaitanya Charana. I want to attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and your Guru Tattva. You can do that. So in this way, this by the mercy of a Guru, the disciple will attain Krishna. But then, if the disciple, when he is chastised by the Guru and is not able to take that chastisement, then what sort of disciple he is? In return, he is going to get Krishna. What else is needed in life? But then, if he cannot take chastisement, he cannot take punishment, and you know, just be obedient to the guru, then there is no point. There is the relation. He is not doing justice to the relationship of guru and disciple. So in this way, when the punishment is given, the chastisement is given, that has to be taken positively. In fact, there are many examples that might be controversial also, so I'll not speak about it. Many examples we see that the disciple does not follow the or does not value the chastisement and punishment of the guru and is out of bhakti. One very vivid example is Prabhupada's comment on moon landing, and the devotee who didn't accept Prabhupada's comment on this, he was out. He left. Can we imagine leaving service of Srila Prabhupada? Maya Shakti is so strong, she'll be there always around. One small doubt and then, you know, she'll just drag the person out. Drag the person out of bhakti. So, in this way, this chastisement and punishment should be valued. You know, a very, very nice thing. And then here, Prabhupada takes to the next, the purport to the next level. Then he talks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what is the mood of a devotee when the devotee is suffering? This faith is very important on Lord Sri Krishna, that whatever Lord is doing, it's for the benefit of the living entity. Now, many times people ask this question, that how to understand that it's for the benefit, because currently I'm seeing you know, it's not beneficial. So materially, externally, on the gross platform, we might see that it is not beneficial, but then Krishna's only goal is somehow or the other deliver the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. That is the only goal that Krishna has. So Krishna has the best plan to deliver the person from the clutches of Maya to, or you know, from the cycle of birth and death. So this is what is Krishna's plan, the best plan he has. We might think on the gross platform that, you know, this is good for me, that is good for me. But then Krishna has the best plan for that particular devotee or for that particular living entity by which he can cross the cycle or he can cross the ocean of birth and death. Sometimes, you know, it might be in the form of suffering. Sometimes, most of the time, it might be in the form of suffering. As Kunti Maharani says, that when suffering is there, we will be able to remember the Lord intensely. Because this is a normal behavior of a living entity, that when happiness is there, he busy in his own world, and when distress is there, he turns to God. And Krishna uses this trick, you know, to help the living entity to come back. Even now, in this situation, the deadly situation that everyone is in, so people ask this question. Now, anything wrong happens, the first question is, what is God doing? At least they're thinking about God. Krishna will put some bomb here and there, and he'll make sure that people start thinking about God. And then another person was asking this question, has Lord closed his eyes? And Srila Guru Maharaj was telling in one of the class, that good, at least they're thinking about the eyes of the Lord. So some thought with the living entity will get, some thought, you know, the living entity will get, that when the living entity goes through the suffering. But then who takes the maximum benefit of that suffering is given here. The one who understands that, yes, this is Krishna's plan, and I am actually very sinful. You know, I should get lots and lots of suffering, but then Lord is so merciful, he's just giving a token. He's just giving a small bit of suffering to me. And in that suffering, if that living entity, that human being, takes shelter of the Lord by kaya, vacha and manasa, by his body, by his mind and by his words, that living entity, that human being will actually make most of it during that situation. So this is a very nice thing which we have realized this point, that every crisis is an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. Every crisis. There is no situation, you know, in life wherein we are not having an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. And especially the crises which are there, those crises are serious opportunity to get closer to Krishna. Because without we wanting, our mood is already intense. The only thing that we have to do is just divert that to Krishna. Just instead of cribbing, just make Krishna as the goal and just talk to Krishna at that time and intensely pray to Krishna and things like that. So every crisis is an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. And this only devotees can realize. You know, otherwise, it's very difficult. Others will just keep blaming Krishna that you did this, you did that. But devotees are very clever. They keep searching, when will my mood become intense to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, or to pray intensely to Krishna, or to cry for Krishna? Because normally getting tears for Krishna is very difficult. Tears for this body is very easy. Anything happens to this body, you know, fut-fut, a lot of tears will be there. But getting tears for Krishna is very difficult. But then crisis is an opportunity, you know, where the devotee can cry. Now, again, it depends on the mood of the devotee. Whom is he crying for? Is he crying for this body, or he is crying to serve the Lord, or thinking that I'll not be able to serve the Lord, and so on and so forth, right? So in this way, we understand that whatever Lord does, that is the best plan for the living entity. If that living entity, if that human being, if that devotee, he surrenders to the Lord at that particular point of time. If he is not surrendering, then you know, the entire situation that Krishna is giving, the opportunity that Krishna is giving, is just going in vain. And sometimes people say that my prayers are not answered. Now in Corona, many are saying, my prayers are not answered, I am losing my family members and so on and so forth. Everyone has their own set of karma, and then people will, everyone is a traveler. And in traveling, in between, we just meet each other, say hi, hello, and spend some time, and then again depart. Now, everyone is a traveler in this world. There is no one who is a permanent resident in this world. So when everyone is a traveler, they will have their own destinations. So when Krishna is executing his plan, we questioning is a very, very immature thing. Why did Krishna do this to me? He could have allowed this person to stay with me for some more time. That we cannot decide, that Krishna will decide. Because he has planned something for that living entity. Who are we in between? Obviously, we are very, very intelligent people on this earthly planet. And we know better than Krishna, but still, you know, we can have faith in Krishna that yes, he has a better, best plan. And when we offer prayers, Krishna will answer in one or the other way. I was telling in Sunday evening, I gave a class on do we fear COVID. So in that, for one and a half hour, I was speaking on this. That when we pray to Krishna, our problem is we expect that mercy should come from this door only. But we forget that Lord also comes out from the pillar. He can come from the ceiling. He can come from the floor. He can come from the windows. He can come from anywhere. His mercy can also flow from anywhere. But our problem is we are facing the door and we are expecting that mercy will come from here. And when it doesn't come from here, you know, we think, oh, no, Lord has not answered my prayers. So, you know, Krishna, who has got 10 times more desire than the living entity, to take the living entity back home, back to Godhead, why will he not answer the prayers of the living entity? Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that we have desire to go back home, back to Godhead, but 10 times more than us, Krishna has this desire to take us back home, back to Godhead. Now for a Bahirmukh Jiva, if Krishna has got this desire, then just imagine, for a devotee who is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, who wants to attain Krishna, why will not Krishna answer his prayers? He will. There is no question of not getting the answer to the prayers. The only thing is we have to keep praying, you know, without slackening in that. So in this way, when it comes to Lord's plan, that is the best plan for the living entity, because the Lord is Trikala Darshi and he knows past, present and future. And he can decide what is best for the living entity so that the living entity can go back home, back to Godhead. Even if the Lord sends the living entity to hell, it's for the benefit of the living entity so that the sins are cleared and he comes up again and gets the human form. Or be it animal form, that is also mercy of the Lord, because again the sins are getting cleared. And every place, it's a mercy of the Lord, because the same point I would like to repeat, that Lord has got this desire to take every living entity back home, and he has the best plan. Yes. So that's what is the mood of a devotee when he is in trouble, when he is in suffering, when he is in crisis. By kaya, vacha and manasa, he just surrenders to the Lord. And what happens in return? What do he get? Like I think yesterday or day before yesterday, one of the devotees was quoting that how Mukunda got the mercy of the Lord. So Mukunda got the mercy of the Lord because he had faith. He had faith in the words of the Lord. And here we see that when we have faith in the mercy factor or in the plan of the Lord, what happens? Jive tayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. That particular devotee or living entity, he will get mukti or he'll get the abode of the Lord just in inheritance. Just in inheritance. He just inherits the property of the Lord, because he is acting like the obedient son of the father, so surely he'll get it. So this is what we see here in this purport, that Prabhupada is saying that when the Lord is punishing, the punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, be it on the material terms, that is a king, or on the spiritual side, be it guru, or the ultimate personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, master, such a person becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. So all of them have their own plan. So with this, I would like to pause here. If any questions, comments, reflections.
Master is chastising only when he is concerned for chastisement, he also knows.
Yes. Oh, I'm supposed to give the mic here for. Please take.
Reflection I was just thinking about.
Pure devotees are very unique in their ways, and even Krishna also has somebody very funny, somebody very strong and things like that. So I was just thinking that if I would have got a pure devotee like what you described in the class, I would have also gone somewhere out, but somehow by the mercy of the spiritual master. So I heard my spiritual master was telling that I know if I am pleased, so definitely he will go back to Godhead. So I'll come down to the level of what he is, and then I'll become pleased, and I'll make him make sure that he goes back. So that's like unlimited kind of mercy. Even we see that Madhu Pandit Prabhu, like, is did so much of offense, but he refused to take any offense, and many devotees also I have seen right in front of my eyes that. People who were doing so much of criticism and things like that, somehow or other we used to convince them, used to bring them, and Guru Maharaj used to be very, this one, he would never demand them to surrender or anything like that. And after some time, these people would get so much attracted by the qualities of this great personality, they would surrender, and that time they would get intense mercy. So it's like, I'm just imagining that it is an unlimitedly merciful person is required to deliver souls in Kali Yuga. So otherwise there is no hope for the souls in Kali Yuga. They will just be gone off the track completely. It's just a thought.
So the chastisement received from the spiritual master is also his love, and that has to be looked upon in that way, because if somebody is only getting glorified, sometimes we need to be shaken up. So Sanatan Goswami also, Haridas Thakur was also telling to, I think, Sanatan Goswami, that you are so nice that you are getting chastisement. That is the real love from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we are only getting glorified, that means we are unfortunate, we will not fully progress in Krishna consciousness. And the disciple needs to be dependent fully on Sri Guru and Sri Krishna for everything. Even more precisely, before the disciple has got any realizations, he should be only dependent on Sri Guru. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So this point that Krishna has 10 times more eagerness, desire for a living entity to get him back for every living entity. For every living entity. Then what about devotees who took Krishna consciousness? So just it is my thing just to take a desire and accept the plan of Krishna, and taking the instructions of a spiritual master as life and soul. Accepting whatever happens in the life, it's the best plan for me given by Krishna. So this is the point I like with Hare Krishna.
Punishment is mercy. It can be from parents, it can be from guru, or it can be from the god. Basis punishment is mercy.
So a servant who doesn't get chastisement and always get glory is, means he is very unfortunate. And when a guru is chastising some servant means he accepted him as his own. And he have a lot of love on his servant, and he chastised the servant because like he wanted him, means his servant, to progress further and get some corrections in his acts. So it's very fortunate one who get chastisement from a guru or a master. So when we get any chastisement or corrections from the seniors or authorities or from the master, so we should understand that, you know, they love us so much that, you know, they are caring us and they wanted to really help us in progressing further. If a dull minded like me, they may not able to understand, it means like they are very unfortunate.
Hare Krishna. So we must always remember that the guru has only one thought, to deliver all his disciples. One may think that his job is to just listen to the order of the spiritual master, and you know, he may follow them the rules, or he may not. But then he must remember that the guru's main, you know, desire is to deliver all his disciples. So we must make that a point and work towards that. Hare Krishna.
I also remembered one incident where one of my god brother, he had gone to Srila Guru Maharaj and something happened, you know, some fight broke. He was, you know, behaving weirdly, and he threw beads on Guru Maharaj, and I don't want you. He threw beads on Guru Maharaj. And then after that, Guru Maharaj went and then he pacified him and he gave him beads and he got him. He threw the beads on the face of Guru Maharaj and he went from there. I don't want you and I don't want your beads also. Mercy of spiritual master. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.